Jesus, we thank you that you were indicted by the people who said, "Who is this who speaks with authority?" And Lord, we thank you that you were faithful to speak the truth, and that your truth not only was in words, but also in deeds. And we pray, O Lord, that as we, your people, are called by your name, set apart by you to be your messengers in this place at this time, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand our calling and the privilege we have to speak with your authority, to reflect the author, to speak with your authority, and to see signs and wonders, miracles happen in your name, that you may receive glory and that more people may know you. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Children's time. If there's any children that want to join Mrs. Hart for children's time, you may go now. Some back there. Just speaking of the context of this passage from Mark, to understand that Jesus has been calling his disciples. This is after his temptation. He begins his ministry by telling them the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. He calls his first disciples. He heals the man with an unclean spirit. And people are surprised by what Jesus is saying, because they were all amazed, it says in verse 27, and they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And then this is the context. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, I didn't put it up on the screen this time, but in your pew Bibles, it has the text for today. And it's on page 836 in those red Bibles that you have in the pew, or in the, underneath there. And we start with verse 29, where it says, "And immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John, with James and John." Now I find this fascinating, because he's speaking with authority. People are surprised by what's happening. Healing is happening. Demons are leaving. Things are going on all over the place. And Jesus goes to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's, or to Simon Peter's house, and his mother-in-law is there. And he just seems nonchalantly to walk up to her. It says that he basically went up. This is the words that it uses. "And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her." Interesting, right? There's nothing, not a lot of pomp and circumstance here. Not a lot of words. Not a lot of stuff. Simply going and taking her hand, lifting her up, and the fever leaves her. She's healed. This seems to happen whenever Jesus comes into contact with people, right? This happens over and over and over again. And so it's not a surprise here that he's healing Simon Peter's mother. He heals the people who have demons. He heals the other illnesses. And he keeps going other places. His fame, if you remember verse 29 or 28, it says, "And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee." So people were bringing people to him because his fame spread. And what I think is often significant about this passage is that we often yearn for that today, right? How many of us would like to get up here, I have to speak as a pastor, and have everybody just want to come and listen to you? Wouldn't that be awesome? Huge crowds, you know. People were envious of Billy Graham in the day, right? Because he could come into a community and he'd have large crowds. Or people, you know, when we speak the word, people would listen. That we would have the signs and wonders that follow the teaching. But it's interesting, because Jesus had situations where this didn't happen. And yet he still spoke with authority. And the difference between speaking with authority when things happen and speaking with authority when things don't is called faith. It's called trusting that Jesus is going to do what he says, even when the results don't seem to be evident immediately. How many people, including myself, have struggled when things don't happen immediately? Yeah. It requires that faith. And so when we're speaking with authority, we are told to speak with authority. And authority simply means that we reflect the author. We believe that the author, and if you would have used the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 40, that's what Isaiah is saying in Isaiah 40. Is he saying, have you not heard? Do you not know that God is the God who created all things? God is the God who does all things. God is the God who is so much more than us, so much greater than us, that we'll never ever be able to figure him out. And so what happens when we act on authority is that things don't often happen the way we want them to happen. Sometimes it'll be simply a person hearing a forgiveness for the first time, really understanding the power of forgiveness. That's why someone was saying, Sarah made the announcement that my friend Boyd's coming back in April. And one of the things is Boyd is not a parish pastor, because one of the things is he's got this really great gift and he's got this one shtick. Any of you ever heard of a person that has a one shtick? Means they have one thing that God has given to them that they're just really good at. When I was growing up, we used to always have these different pastors. In my church growing up, we had three pastors. And we would always laugh because we knew exactly what each pastor was going to talk about, no matter what the text was. Because they all had a shtick. You know what I'm saying? We knew that if Pastor Copperwood was going to get up, it was going to be the theology of the cross. Somehow, they were going to hear about the theology of the cross. Didn't matter whether the text had nothing to do with the theology of the cross. We were going to hear about it. Because that was his shtick, okay? Then we had another pastor who was very pro-life. And we knew that if he was going to be preaching, you were always going to hear a pro-life message, even if it had nothing to do with pro-life. Because that was his shtick. Now, the problem with being a parish pastor is you can't always have a shtick. Because people get tired of it, right? And you unfortunately only have one pastor, not three. At least with three, you rotate. But you have one. So it's kind of difficult because, you know, I love Boyd because he says to me, he says, I don't ever want to be a parish pastor again because people get tired of me. But when I go and speak in different places and I speak of what the Lord has given to me, it's powerful, it's moving, it changes lives, and that's what's important. So sometimes when we speak with authority, it can have results that maybe we aren't even looking for. I might have a sermon prepared and I think it's going to lead to people getting healed and someone gets forgiven. And for them, that's the beginning of a great healing process. But it isn't exactly what I'm expecting, right? So when you speak with authority, I'm just saying don't expect that the results are up to you. When you speak with authority, you're reflecting the author, and the author knows each of us intimately. He knows what our hearts need. He knows what our minds need. He knows what our lives need. And it could be, what I love is when it's a salvation. I've been part of crusades that when I was a youth pastor where people actually gave their lives to Christ. And they would say, this is the first time I can say with confidence that the Lord is my God, that Jesus is my Savior. And I remember those days, and I was like, awesome! Because that was huge. Other times, it's healing. Other times, it's simply seeing someone move and grow. I want to read to you from what I use for my devotions. I use the Bible on my phone. If you've ever been around me, you'll probably hear this because sometimes I'm catching up. But I read every day, and I use the Message. Any of you heard of the Message? Interesting, it's not a translation, it's a paraphrase. Meaning, a translation is where you take the Hebrew and the Greek and you try to take the words and you put them into English. What Eugene Peterson does is try to explain what the words mean. And I want you to listen to what he has to say about preaching the gospel and preaching with authority as St. Paul speaks to the people in Corinth. This is from chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. This is what he says. I think it's really cool. God didn't send me out to collect a following for myself. Remember what I said about the verse 28 here? It said that his fame spread. We'd all like that, right? But St. Paul's saying to the people in Corinth, God didn't send me out to collect the following for myself, but to preach the message of what he has done, collecting a following for him. And he didn't send me to do it with lots of fancy rhetoric of my own. What is he saying there? Basically, he didn't send me out to do it with fanciful words. I think that was one of the most disappointing things for people when I came from British Columbia to Ann Arbor, was that I don't speak like a philosopher. And that was kind of disappointing to many. And philosophers are really good at rhetoric. Have you listened to a philosopher lately? They're really good at rhetoric. And, you know, he says, and he didn't send me to do it with lots of fancy rhetoric of my own, lest the powerful action at the center, Christ on the cross, be trivialized into mere words. I love the way he puts that. Could that not happen if we get attached to fame? Could we not be tempted to make the rhetoric or the stories or the things that get people excited and make them happy, that they could be what we seek after rather than the simple message of the cross of Christ? What he's basically saying is you can lose the message and you can lose the authority when you get, if you get too concerned about the manner in which you're speaking. The message that points to the cross, to Christ on the cross, seems like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on destruction. How many of us have spoken with authority, reflected the author, shared the truth, and have people look at us and say, that's silly? Or maybe some other more colorful word. Right? Because they're, as Eugene Peterson says, they're hell-bent on destruction. They are determined to keep going that the way they're going, and they're not interested in changing. So don't take it personally. But for those on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. Right? This is what we call a person of peace. When we're speaking to God, when we're speaking with authority, we're talking about forgiveness, salvation, healing, growth, discipleship. When people who are on that path, who are people of, we call them people of peace, who God is already working on them, the Holy Spirit's already preparing them, when we speak to them, it makes sense. A light bulb goes on. We have an immediate connection. This is the way God works, and most powerfully as it turns out. It's written, I'll turn conventional wisdom on its head. I'll expose so-called experts as crackpots. I'm still waiting for this, by the way. He said, what Paul's saying is, he said, if you believe in worldly wisdom, if you believe in worldly things, eventually they're going to break down. Eventually, you're going to see the faults. So where you can find someone truly wise, truly educated, truly intelligent in this day and age, hasn't God exposed it all as pretentious nonsense? I love the way he puts it. You know, people expose all these theories and they make it sound so, because of the way they say it and all the stories and all the stuff, it makes it sound so true. And yet it's pretentious nonsense. And yet it's because it has no authority. Because it doesn't reflect the author. Since the world in all its fancy wisdom never had a clue when it came to knowing God, God in his wisdom took delight in using what the world considered stupid. This is his words, not mine, so don't shoot me. What the world considered stupid, namely preaching, of all things, to bring those who trust him into the way of salvation. While Jews clamor for miraculous demonstrations and Greeks go in for philosophical wisdom, we go right on proclaiming Christ the crucified. Jews treat this like an anti-miracle, and Greeks pass it off as absurd. But to us, who are personally called by God himself, this is what I mean by calling. We who are called by God himself, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's ultimate miracle and wisdom all wrapped up in one. Human wisdom is so tiny and so impotent next to the seeming absurdity of God. Human strength can't begin to compete with God's weakness. I like the way Eugene Peterson puts this in the message. Because it's speaking of what we know when we speak with authority. We're not always going to get the results that we would like. But that doesn't mean we don't speak with authority. That doesn't mean that we shy away from talking about healing. It doesn't mean that we shy away from talking about salvation. It doesn't mean we shy away from talking about forgiveness. I can't wait till Boyd comes, because every time he comes, he has a new teaching. Because the Lord has called him, and that's his shtick. It's forgiveness. And he speaks to it powerfully, right? If you haven't heard him, you will. It's a gift. It's a calling. It's a vocation. So I want to close by saying, know who you are. Know that you are children of the living God, that the Father has given you your identity, and out of your identity flows obedience. Out of your identity, that covenant that he's made with us, we can speak with authority. We are kingdom people. The King has given us his authority so that we can move with power. And the power is not dependent on us. It's not dependent on how big we are. It's not dependent on how articulate we are. It doesn't depend on our rhetoric. It doesn't depend on our programs. It doesn't depend on any of those things, because we are too small and we are not enough. But that's good, because let us understand how the Lord looks at us. The Lord looks at us as people who are called. Did David seem big enough to take on Goliath? No. Did Elijah or Elisha seem like the type of people who would have made the greatest prophets? I mean, when you read about Elijah and his depression, you go, man, this guy had big problems right from the beginning. Right? And Gideon. Remember Gideon trying to raise an army? And he had all these people, and God kept making it smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. I understand that. And then the 12 or 11. Simple people. Fishermen. Tax collectors. Sinners. God used powerfully. See, discipleship is about invitation and challenge. It's about knowing the information, which is that authority, reflecting the author. It's about the imitation of what Jesus did. That's why they came and asked him, everybody's looking for you. And Jesus, what does he do? Instead of going back and continuing to grow his fame, he says, let's go on to the next place. He showed them what they were to do. He wanted them to imitate him, that they wouldn't just stay where they could get fame and be, you know, able to continue to grow things for themselves, but they would go to places to plant new things. And then innovation, which I think is basically, I like innovation because to me, it always represents trust. When you innovate or change, you're always putting your faith in the Lord, right? That's what the passage we didn't read today, but again, when you go home, read Isaiah 40:31. It's on the front of my Bible. It's one of my favorite verses. The Lord is not weary or does not grow faint, right? But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Isn't that awesome? That's the truth of us who believe, who follow in discipleship. So the what is vocation? What are you passionate about, and what does the world need? That's our calling. That's what Paul was called. That's how we're called. And our purpose is that sweet spot in the middle where we put what we love, what the world needs, what we are good at, and what we can sometimes get paid for. Those are the four circles there. And our purpose is in the middle. May God bless you with that calling that he has placed on your life, so that you're not scared, you're not fearful, you're willing to speak with authority because you know the author. It's Jesus. And you can speak with authority because you know that the words that you speak, when you speak his words, does not rely on you, but relies on him. And he has the power to do what he says. Amen? He has the power to do what he promises. And that's why we can know with certainty of our purpose. Amen.